Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit, when he gives you something to do, it's automatically successful. If you accompany what God gives you to do with your faith, if you receive what He's saying and do it by faith, when you believe in what you're doing and you act on it by faith, it's automatically successful. The Lord, He has a plan, and when you do your part, see, when we do a move of God, we're doing our part. Other people are going to do their part. That's how it works. And when God moves in your life and He helps you do what, you know, what should be done, He's giving you what will work. And when people don't, if people don't receive revelation deep in their heart, they won't believe in what they're doing. When that happens, they question what God has given them. You know, the rich young ruler walked away sorrowful. So many Christian people, lovely Christian people, are walking away sorrowful because they didn't receive what God was saying so that they could believe it. They didn't receive it. And when God gives you something, if whatever He brings to your attention is very important right off the top. And if you believe in it and you act on it, it's going to work. And it takes time for things to work. It takes time to build a ship, for instance. It takes time to build a car. It takes time to restore an automobile. I do that sometimes. It takes time to just paint a car. It's not a one-day deal. It can take a few weeks, depending on how bad it is. The plan of God is no different. And He's trying to save contrary people. So He'll give you what will work. And it'll work better than our best ideas. And I say that boldly. Today is Friday, September the 3rd, 2021. And I thank the Lord for what He's doing. And this week He's been talking about justice. You know, He's got me in Isaiah chapter 10. The Lord cares about us in every way. He cares about all people. And the way we treat people is very, very important. The way we conduct ourselves every day, the things we allow ourselves to do and see and hear, it plays a role in how we process information. And when people are doing right, then God has something to work with. When people are walking according to His love, you know, He can, and He has free course to operate, He can get some things done. And He can help people receive the word before they get hurt, before they get in fear, before their weaknesses are exploited. See, Satan works, he works against us through our weaknesses, hurts, and fears. But if people have the word and they're prepared in their heart, then they can, you can, some things can be avoided. Now let's look at Isaiah chapter 10. Verse 1 says, Woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees and that write grievousness which they have prescribed. You know, look at verse 1 again. Woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees and write grievousness which they have prescribed. To turn aside the needy from judgment, and to take away the right from the poor of my people, that the widows may be their prey, and that they may rob the fatherless. Why would a person want to do something like that anyway? But people do. Satanic things is not Satan. The things of Satan has no logic. It has no purpose. The people of God who love God, they have a purpose. Ungodly people have no purpose. They cannot produce life. They're not willing to do their part, and they have to kill, steal, and destroy just like Satan does. there are people that would prey on widows. You know, the lady's husband died. Now, I'm looking back in time now. We have a different kind of society than they had back then. They didn't have a social security system like we do that we all pay into, and it helps the elderly. They can't work anymore. But back then, you know, the people of God would prosper, especially if they see prosperity happens when you love God. When you have the love of God in you, and you're continuing doing His work, His will, and loving people, you're prosperous. You're not in a state of prosperity. There's always more than enough among people who walk in the God kind of love. And whatever you do to earn money and earn a living, God will bless it. And that's still true. That's going to always be true. When you walk in the God kind of love, you're going to have every form of prosperity, basically. All right, but wicked people are not that way. The wicked people they rely on their clever wickedness, and they do Ponzi schemes and foolish things like that. But see, God has a judgment set aside for people who operate in that realm. Okay, let's continue. He said, "Woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees and write grievousness, which they have prescribed, to turn aside the needy from judgment, and to take away the right from the poor of my people, that widows may be their prey, and that they may rob the fatherless. And what will you do in the day of visitation, and in the desolation which shall come from far? To whom will you flee for help? And where will you leave your glory?" And then verse 4 said, the Lord is talking. He said, "Without me, they shall bow down under the prisoners. They shall fall under the slain. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still." Now watch this. See, the curse causeless will not come. That's just a fact. That's just the way it is. When people in this era of time, this is in the days of Ahaz, you know. The Assyrian king was coming to take them to captivity. The nation had failed. They fell away from God's ways, primarily because of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. He put something in motion, and this is the result. They're going into Assyrian captivity. See, when they did this, they had Jeroboam. He put a golden calf in Bethel and one in Dan, and that's where people were going. They worshipped that instead of the Lord. He didn't want. He was afraid that people would go to Jerusalem and turn against him and kick him out. And again, he loved power more than he loved his God. And Jeroboam, when we first met him, when the prophet first anointed him with cloth, basically, that he would be king, he didn't even anoint him with oil. At least King Saul got a vial of oil. He tore his garment into 10 pieces and gave it to him. Now, this man corrupted Israel. You know, yesterday's broadcast, the Lord had me talking about how he would rather for us to be cold or hot. See, if a person is, when people are lukewarm, God, instead of you being lukewarm, he'd rather for you to be cold, hot or cold. Rather, preferably hot, but if you got to be lukewarm, he'd rather for you to be out of the way. he'll spit you out of his mouth. Well, they fill their sin bag. That's the best way to put it. They filled up the weight of the scales of their sin. And then their country was given to the king of Assyria. Verse 4 says, without me they shall bow down under the prisoners, and they shall fall under the slain. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. The Lord will still have mercy on people who want to know him out of the bunch. See, some people, some believers, they break through under the worst conditions. There are people out there, they will believe God. No, after everything has gone wrong, gone south, taken over, they're in captivity, they will believe God. And God will save them and heal them and protect them there where they're at, under the jail. See, the people that didn't, you know, they broke every law. They broke the everlasting covenant. They didn't keep the Shemitah. They kept slaves in the seventh year. They asked the prophets to preach smooth things. They gave wine to the Nazarites. They did everything wrong, backwards. They preyed on widows. They were taking bribes in their courts. See, the curse causeless will not come, but it does come, and they merit it. This kind of judgment is merited always. It don't just happen because somebody think have a notion to take over the world. Before every kingdom, the enemy uses another kingdom to take over. That kingdom has to be corrupt first. That's why he tries to demoralize a nation. A moral nation, people that walk according to the law, they have their plights and difficulties. But the evil men don't have a mind to take them over. They have to. They become corrupt first. They worship idols and they sacrifice their children. That's what attracts this kind of curse to happen to a nation. The curse causes will not come. But yet here it is, because they caused it. You see, from verse 1 through 3, they caused it, and now they're going to be begging from the. You know, he said, without me, they shall bow down under the prisoners. They're going to be looking up to prisoners. They shall fall under the slain. They're going to be hiding under dead bodies. For all this, their anger is not turned away. God's anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Now look at this, verse 5. This applies to everything that takes over a nation. O Assyrian, the rod of mine anger, the staff, and the staff in their hand is mine indignation. I will send him against a hypocritical nation, and against the people of my wrath will I give him a charge to take the spoil, and to take the prey, and to tread them down like the mire in the streets. Now watch this. Howbeit, he meaneth not so, the king of Assyria. Neither doeth this heart think so. But it is in his heart to destroy and cut off nations, not a few. This is the same paradigm of Nebuchadnezzar, Medo-Persian kings, the kings of Persia, kings of the Medes, all the way up to Alexander the Great. And his four generals that took over, all the way down to the Antichrist. They always come after a hypocritical nation. But the godly nations escape. Always they go after a hypocritical nation. I will send them against an hypocritical nation, and against the people of my wrath will I give him a charge to take the spoil and to take the prey, and to tread them down like the mire of the streets. Now watch this. They're trying to destroy and take over because they're just like the people they're waging war against. The king of Assyria was not a better man than the people he was taking into captivity. But because the people of God merited this destruction, and here's a crazy man over here, the Lord just gave him the victory for now. He's going to get judged for it, of course. But it'll drive out the hypocrisy and put it under captivity. Remember, sin cannot be, you can't reason with sin. You have to destroy it. You have to put it in captivity, such as hell. You have to burn it. You have to put it in a place where it can be burned. And you have to move people out of the way that have corrupt justice systems. When a nation goes corrupt, it will be taken over every time. It's not going to prolong. And the worse it is, the faster it will happen. Cursed causes will not come. Now, verse 7. Howbeit he meaneth not so, neither doeth his heart think so, but it is in his heart to destroy and cut off nations, not a few. For he saith, are not my princes altogether kings? Is not Calno as Carchemish? Is not Hamath as Arpad? Is not Samaria as Damascus? As my hand has found the kingdoms of the idols, and whose graven images did excel them of Jerusalem and of Samaria, shall I not, as I have done unto Samaria and her idols, do to Jerusalem and her idols? Therefore it shall come to pass that when the Lord has performed his whole work upon Mount Zion and on Jerusalem, I will punish the fruit of the stout heart of the king of Assyria and the glory of his high looks. For he saith, by the strength of my hand I have done this, I have done it, and by my wisdom, for I am prudent. And I have removed the bounds of the people and have robbed their treasures, and I have put down the inhabitants like a valiant man. And my hand has found a nest of the riches, the riches of the people, and as one that gathereth eggs that are left. I have gathered all the earth, and there was none that moved the wing or opened the mouth or peeped. Now, watch this. Shall the axe boast itself against him that heweth therewith? Or shall the saw magnify itself against he that shakes it? As if the rod should shake itself against them that lift it up, or if the staff should lift up itself as if it were no wood. A saw don't go and brag about, I'm better than the man that's sawing with me, because the saw can't do it by itself, just like this king can't do it. He can't take over nations with the wisdom that he has. The Lord gave him the victory. And he gave him that the limited victory to judge a nation that should be judged, since it was in his heart to do wickedness. And that nation needed to be moved out of the way because it went corrupt. An immoral nation will always be removed. It just take time. And God give people space of time to repent. And when they won't repent, they always go into captivity. Now, ironically, I was praying about our nation. I look at the things that's going on, the way the decisions that's being made, the evil that's rampant, homosexuality. You can't watch TV anymore without seeing corrupt commercials. So I don't do business with people that do that. They're trying to twist our children. So why should I do business with people that's trying to twist our children in a corrupt and immoral society? It's going to bring the nation down is what it's going to do. Now, Henry Groover had three war visions. The Russia invasion, they were all one. And the Chinese and Russia is going to get together and attack this country. The cursed causeless will not come. But the people that pray, the people that do God's will, they stabilize the country. We can hold it back, but it's going to happen. Because unless people repent and go on their face before the Lord, the curse causeless will not come. It's going to happen. Then God's going to judge the nations that tore it up. See, Satan's he has no purpose. He's a garbage man. He will collect the garbage. And then he's going to be destroyed. He's going to be put in the same trash can that he's trying to put others in. This is what's going on, folks. And God loves everybody, but he has to deal with immorality. He has to protect his creation. The only thing that will not happen, it will not go without a judgment. That's not going to happen. Sin will not continue, and then there's no repercussion. It's going to be some repercussion. That's just the way it is. I mean, people can ignore it. It doesn't matter if you ignore it. Don't believe it. Think that this nation is going to stand forever. You can believe whatever you want. But immorality will be judged. It'll only go so far and smash. There it is. It's over with. It's taken over. It's not the same nation anymore. King, he said, he's bragging on his army. Verse 8, he said, "For he said, are not my princes altogether kings? Is not Calno as Carchemish? Hamath as Arpad? Samaria as Damascus?" He thinks he's wise. He thinks he's a master. He's just a dead man walking. That's it. Okay, let's go continue back. He's looking at people look at their might. They look at their nuclear weapons, their war, their goose-stepping soldiers. A goose-stepper, he's going to die. But everybody, when you do wrong, you will be judged as well. This is the point of all of this. What holds back the wicked is righteousness. Now that's the point of all this. What holds back the wicked is righteousness. You can't always make a nation change their ways, but you can definitely change your ways. You can do things God's way and do it in his strength. My brother Christian, you can do it in his strength. Never get caught up with the wicked. Don't be in despair over what they do. The wicked is guaranteed to be wicked. Daniel said the wicked will do wickedly and they won't understand. They got two problems. They will do wickedly. They're guaranteed to be wicked and they don't understand, so they're not going to stop. You can spell it out. You can show them. You can do everything in your might. But they will do wickedly anyway. But the people of God, now you can step out of you can get off their path and walk God's path into righteousness by the blood of Jesus and by filling your heart with his word. Too many times Christians fail at this because they try to do right in their strength. And that's just what Satan wants them to do. The apostles, the biggest challenge they had in that day was when they introduced salvation to the Gentile nations and they were getting saved and seeing progress. Along came a spider. Along came the Jews trying to put them back under the law so they could work for salvation and do things in their strength and be consumed. Now, in their rebellion against God, they didn't believe on Jesus. They were blind as a bat. And I love the Jews. I pray for the nation all the time. I'm not anti-Jew. But the spirit behind it was anti-Jew. Even though the people were natural sons of Abraham, sons and daughters of Abraham, the natural Jew, they were natural Jews. But the spirit behind their works was Satan himself, trying to put people back into salvation by works. Salvation by works is the chief it's the chief doctrine of the devil, because it looks good on paper. Even the doctrine of sanctification by the modern day holiness church, it was just as divisive as trying to put people back into circumcision bondage. I'm not righteous because I get circumcised. I'm not righteous because I don't eat shrimp, pork, or shellfish, or catfish. Those not eating those things won't make me righteous. Worshiping on Saturday only won't make me righteous either. See, all the ceremonial views of the law and the things that pointed to Christ, when you receive Jesus Christ, all those things were fulfilled in Christ. The temple itself, when the day he gave up the ghost, the moment he gave up the ghost, the veil was rent in the temple. Jerusalem, you don't need a temple anymore. The Holy Spirit is given within your heart now. Receive Jesus and receive the Holy Spirit. The holiest of holies is in you, Jerusalem. You don't need a temple anymore. Nobody really wants that temple but Satan, so he can show himself that he's God to deceive people. And that's when the Jews' eyes are going to be open. That'll be the end of the judgment that God used Isaiah to blind Israel and shut their ears, because their heart had grown fat in sin. The spirit behind what they were doing to harass the apostles, see, if they didn't do that, the church would have grown very strong. But this interference caused it bled over into the doctrines that people preach these days. Salvation by works. Even the Muslim religion, Islam, was born out of it. It's salvation by works. It looks and sounds good. We serve one God. Well, but it's ignoring Christ. So you're still in the world. Islam is demonic, and the Muslims are victims. They're in a stage of entrapment. I thank God for appearing to Muslims. I thank God for him appearing to Muslim people. Jesus appeared to people in Iran, the most sincere Muslims in Iran, and they became believers. It happened so much that they put it on CNN of all networks. Even CNN did a report that people in Iran were seeing a carpenter from Israel. They didn't say Jesus, but on Sid Roth's show, he did a report that people in Iran were having visions of Jesus. Now, but salvation by works will get you killed. That's the chief doctrine of the devil. So when there are people that's living morally, Satan knows that he can't touch them. He can't even, a standard is risen up against him. He can only destroy the wicked people in the land. See, they are righteous judges. They are righteous judges, and there need to be righteous judges. They hold back the war. You know, there was a movie that I saw. Steven Spielberg wrote it. It's called Dark Tower. And the parable of it was this: that was a dark tower, and if they bring it down, then apocalypse will come. And this movie had a parable to it. If they could bring that tower down, then the darkness will just overtake everything, every world, all the different versions of Earth. It would be taken over by apocalypse, and demons would just run the streets and kill people at their will. I know it's a crazy movie, but this is the parable of it. When darkness takes over, that will really happen. When a nation falls away from the things of God and gets weak enough, an outside enemy will take it over. But as long as there's righteousness in the camp, enough to hold it back. With Sodom and Gomorrah, it took 10 men. 10 righteous men could have, God wouldn't have judged that nation. And this is why, when men see men being righteous, they come to the Lord. Most people want what's right. But when the wicked take over and people do nothing about it, and people are afraid to do something about it, and they join them, and then they become leaven, and then they're trapped by it. And then the whole thing has to be destroyed. That's how it is. There was no light. There was no light in Sodom and Gomorrah. There was only one righteous man. And the angels led out that righteous man, his wife, and his two daughters. And his wife looked back. Because culture is strong. When you're raised in a place, it's hard to not be like what's around you. It takes a deep love of God to break through it. She had broken through it, but she looked back and turned, and she died. Turned to a pillar of salt.